Today I'm speaking with Steve Wellen, Chief Operating Officer at a company called Domo. Domo helps companies make sense of their data, and with data becoming so enormous in everybody's business, especially in retail, this is a very important topic to talk about. So I was really interested to learn more from Steve how Domo actually helps retailers. How are you today, Steve?
I'm great, Darius. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Thank you for taking the time. So can you tell me what is Domo and how it actually helps retailers?
Absolutely. So Domo, and it's a good introduction, Domo does think about data. I think the thing that Domo's focused on is what is the best way to manage data? And we think about bringing data and people together to improve business results. It's sort of the nature of it. You know, focusing on certain elements of data, actionable data, to be able to move the needle of the business is what it's really all about. And so you could look at it another way and just say, you know, time to value. How fast can I get information out of all the data that I have that might be from disparate vendors and so forth, but how can I bring it together into one place to be able to make actionable decisions that help me run the business, help me move the business? So that's what it is. And Domo has over 1,000 customers worldwide in a variety of industries and have about 25% of the Fortune 50. So, you know, we've definitely penetrated a lot of companies with a lot of issues around focusing on actionable data. And retail happens to be one of our top segments that we help optimize, because retailers are in the midst of trying to figure out between, you know, the brick and mortar and e-commerce. And right now it's really optimize or die inside the retail business. So there's a big focus on using data to become competitive and use that as a competitive advantage.
Right. So that's good. The everybody is aware of the challenges of retail, and especially local brick and mortar retail. And at the same time, people are aware of the value of being close to the customer. So the challenge for retailers is, how do you use all these different pieces of information to provide an experience to customers that actually makes them come to the store more or even shop from you locally? So what do you see is like the big difference in how retailers actually need to address data?
That's a great question. And I think if you think of it from a point of view of, you know, being closer to the customer, identifying with the customer, understanding what the customer wants is critically important. In fact, I've got a few examples that we can talk about today. One of them that just comes to mind is it's a well-known Fortune 50 retailer that has a lot of data, has brick and mortar as well as e-commerce, and wants to get closer to the customer to be able to understand what the customer wants, worries about product placement in the store, worries about making sure the experience is good and having things in the right place. And so in this particular example, which is a really, to me, a cool example of bringing sales data, and I'm talking Fortune 50 type company, so a lot of sales data, into the hands of the CEO of this company, and on his mobile phone, he's able to see across all the different regions sales activity for the day, sales activity what it should be at that particular time of day, and what it was this time last year. And with that data, getting to the point of how does that benefit the customer, they can look at it. He looks at it literally on one visualization to be able to see across his entire store network, to be able to see who's performing and who's not. And he can drill down into and go deeper into the data right on his phone to see which stores have issue and communicate with the store manager literally all in one flow. And with that, there's SKU information that they have inside Domo that they can start looking at placement. Is there a difference between this particular store and another store on being able to make store inventory available to customers that they want? So it's best practice sharing as well that ultimately he wants to be able to get down to. But that's an example. It's just bringing a myriad, huge amount of data into one place to be able to look at and make actionable decisions that are more informative for the customer.
Okay, so that's a great example. Now, you mentioned that the CEO is actually able to get this information on their mobile, correct?
That is correct.
So did Domo actually build the mobile? Is it an app? Is it a website? What is it? How does the CEO actually get that information?
Yeah, great question. So when Domo came to market, and we've been around almost 7 years now, when Domo came to market, we intentionally chose to make sure that regardless of platform, whether or not it's on your laptop, whether it's your mobile device or a tablet, that Domo, the same Domo, is going to be deployed across all of them. Of course, you got to worry about real estate and fit it to the particular platform, but it's the same data. It's the same as we call them cards, the KPI or the visualization, but it's the same card that then gets sized properly across each one of these devices. So it's not a separate function. It's not a separate deployment. It stays in the same engineering development time, and it comes out the same time. So we have coined that we're basically mobile first, and we think about that. But when we deploy the applications, it's deployed on all platforms at the same time.
Okay, so I think I like the idea of KPI cards so that you know exactly like what each card is going to give you. But so is this something that, for example, the CEO actually goes, uses their mobile browser and logs into a Domo URL, or do they log into their own internal dashboard?
It's a Domo app that they downloaded from the App Store.
Okay.
And it runs on their mobile device, and so there's an icon on their phone that says Domo, and they just click right into that. And think of Domo, for those that have not seen Domo, Domo basically has on their whatever relevant areas they care about. In this case, it's around sales and customer experience and inventory that he cares about. So those particular tabs are tabs on his phone that then he can look inside and see these cards that then tell him information about, in this case, about sales for the day.
Okay.
And those are then available, and he just clicks in one, and think of it like flipping pages as you would flip on your phone. You just flip to the next page to look at another card.
Okay.
Very, very easy to use.
Okay, so it's a native app, basically, either on Android,
that's right,
or iOS. And is this the same app that all customers use and they just log in to get access to their own account information? Or do you actually create different apps for different, like this is a Fortune 50 customer. So that's why I'm asking.
Yeah. So getting to some of the implementation of it, it's logging into their Domo. So they have a Domo instance. Inside we've put a heck of a lot of work in acquiring data, so we have a lot of data connection for them. But we also have a lot of standard template cards that they can use, like pie graphs and bar graphs and maps and things of that nature. And then their data, when it's connected into Domo, populates those cards so that then they can use those cards. So they're, even though it's a standard template or they're standard things that they can use from the library, it's their data, so it's custom in that regard. It's all about them in that. And if they want, to your point, though, I should say, Darius, to your point, if there's a special app, we have what we literally call apps. We have apps and cards. They can create an app and think of it like an infographic, but it's dynamic. It's alive, and it tells a story. So customers can actually create those, too, and they might be a little bit more intuitive, a little bit more dynamic, a little bit more information on there. So they have choices on what's the best way to tell the story.
Okay, so digging in a little bit more on the actual implementation, of course, a Fortune 50 customer, I'm sure they have maybe tens or hundreds of data repositories and applications they use. How does Domo pull in all this data from all these different places and make one unified view from them?
So that's where a lot of the effort went in. We were invested in well when we became a company and have been since. So a lot of effort has been investing in what's the best, most optimized way to connect to data. It's a really good question, and it's the basis really of all this. And at the end of the day, nothing's easy as far as, you know, connection, because unfortunately there's no consistency of APIs. Some data is in the cloud, some data is with vendors that have good APIs, some do not. Some have no APIs and you have to go straight to the data. It might be from a data warehouse. So just in a simplistic way, Darius, just think Domo has spent an inordinate amount of time and effort, and it's our intellectual property, our connectors into these. And we've found over the years, we found the best way to connect to each one of these different software vendors or warehouses to be able to bring data in to create that one data source, then to then for customers to create actionable cards.
Okay.
In this case, though, and it's worth knowing. You know, again, nothing's easy, but what we're trying to do is make it easier for our customers to get to that data quickly. So the time to value equation comes in because that's one of our tenets. So in the case of like this Fortune 50 retailer, they have huge amounts of data, tons of SKU data. And Domo's built on it's a highly transactional and very stout system to be able to bring in lots of data. They make choices, though, on what's relevant to the question they're asking. So in the case of the example I gave around the CEO wanting to know same-day sales and inter-day sales, well, that's the question. And why? Because they want to optimize and he wants to be able to communicate with the store managers to find out what their issues are. So there's a business problem, and this is one of Domo's differences. There's a business problem that we ask first to be able to solve, and then we go after the data wherever it is, whether it's a warehouse or a vendor or whatever. We go after that data to answer that business question. And that's where we spend a lot of time in the implementation with our customers, is to figure out what's the business question, what's the actionable thing that moves the needle that we can help bring value to them. So I kind of want to flip in your mind, maybe. It's not like I have all this data sitting on my desktop that I'm going to try to go get. It's like, what's the business question? Let me go find the data that answers that. So it's an optimized experience versus this vast looking for nuggets in the data.
Okay. Well, I mean, the fact that Domo uses APIs is basically, I think that's the right, at least from my experience, the right technology to be working with, because that's basically the best, most efficient way and most real-time way to get the data from all the different services. But I know that, as you said, everybody can have an API or an SDK, but how well is it documented? How well does it run? What are the scalability and reliability factors into it? So those are all the different things that make projects what they are. My pet peeve is being involved in a few large projects myself. My pet peeve is setting the right expectations. I think customers in general are really intelligent and they understand when you tell them this is what it's going to take time to do. The problem I found is that people underestimate the complexity of these projects, and then the customers are not happy. So I think when I look at a software company, which is interesting, especially enterprise software company, I'm not looking just at the software as part of really their competitive advantage. To me, even the implementation is just as important. If they have good implementation, professional services teams, good technical people that, project managers, all of these things make a huge difference. It's not just the software. It's not just the code.
I agree.
So yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that's exactly right. So we do have a consulting organization, but I would start with inside the engineering part of our organization, there's a whole team that just focuses on connection to data. And they worry about the latest SDK. They worry about the latest version of an API. They work with the vendors to be able to optimize and potentially even get a better connection into the data that might not be publicly available. There's all kinds of ways to get to data, but you need to have a relationship with the vendors. And we have connection to over 500 different data connections out there, like, we could give examples like Salesforce or like Twitter or like Facebook or, you name it, or data warehouses, which might be Hadoop data warehouses or could be SAP or Oracle, those kinds of things. And we spend an inordinate amount of time making sure that we understand exactly, the kinds of questions you would ask of the data, because quite frankly, even connection to data can depend on the question you ask of it, you know, and you take Salesforce as an example, which a lot of people use it. You know, there might be certain questions you would ask that are sales oriented, opportunity questions. Some may be more about contact information. Some questions might be about service. They have different objects inside Salesforce that are different objects that you might not want to pull out of Salesforce data if you were asking a sales question. You certainly don't need to have the service or maybe the contact information, or you might. So we think about not only the connection to data, but the kinds of questions you would ask of the data to make sure that we optimize how we pull it out. And we've done that for many years now, and it is something that it's not done by a third party. It is our own. It is a part of our platform, and it's constantly being monitored and updated by an engineering team that focuses on that. And I would also say that the optimized data that then's pulled out of that can be combined with many other things that creates this data set that might be used by somebody like this Fortune 50 company that I'm talking about. But hopefully that gives a little bit better view of the engineering side. The right. Consulting side, which we have experts in it. We have subject matter experts that think about and came from retail. We have subject matter experts that came from or think about operations or finance or sales. You know, we think of it as either industry specific or persona specific knowledge that then helps us refine what are those business questions and business needs and common tangible goals of organizations like retailers that, you know, that matter. And then we can have our consultants work with the customer when we first engage to say, okay, what initiative should we work on that is a quick win potentially, something that's tangible, that's got value. And then we start with that business question and then we go down to the data. And that's how we teach them to use Domo, but it's also what we attack so that we have a quick win, some value there, and people get to understand how to use the Domo platform to extract information to make better and better decisions.
Okay, so now you mentioned about the CEO. What about some other examples for probably different aspects of a retail operation, how Domo is used?
Good point. So there's another organization, another top Fortune 100 sporting brand organization that I love how they're using Domo, and the business use cases are fun because they vary. You know, it just depends on, you know, what that company's really focused on. And this particular sporting goods Fortune 100 retailer, it's an interesting story. So let me just sort of paint it because this was the business problem. They have their own stores, and in these stores, they want to make sure that they have inventory out on the floor from the back room, out on the floor as fast as possible, so that customers have an opportunity to investigate all the different sporting good items that they have, and be able to make a choice and buy whatever is on the floor. The thing that I didn't realize until we got deeper into this business problem is that those folks conveyed to me that when customers come into a store, if they don't find what they want on the store shelf, 70% of them, they say, will turn around and walk out without asking a support person on the floor or a salesperson on the floor, which was highly disturbing for them when they wanted to make sure that they had inventory on the floor. So they have teams that sit in the back room whose job is to constantly monitor the floor and make sure that inventory is stocked and faced at all times. And so what they've done is they've connected their inventory system into Domo along with pallets that are on the back dock that need to be broken down, along with the requirements of what their in-day sales are, to know what is, you know, when they have an out-of-stock situation or a low-stock situation on the floor, they can get those individuals stocking as fast as possible to keep the floor inventory up. What they've done, and I mentioned this earlier in this conversation, what they've done is they've created an app with Domo, and in that app, they've created a little competition, because it is a sporting goods store. They created competition in the back room with individuals getting inventory out of the back room onto the floor as fast as possible. So they've gamified it and they're having fun with it. And so this works on their tablets and on their phones, and each one of the individuals in the back room has Domo sitting on their tablet or on their phone, and they have this app running on there that for their little segment of whatever they're running to get on the back out on the floor, they've got it there and they can monitor it. And the speed at which they get it from back room to the floor is the gamification of it. So they race each other on that, and then they get, they can tally that during the day, and it makes it fun for them. But anyway, that's kind of a fun use case, but a very, it's a money. It's all about they can make more money if they have it out there. That way they don't have to worry about that 70% that leave the store.
Of course. So to think about how this is actually, this app, the system is working, I'm assuming they are taking the data from, they have to take the data either from the POS system telling them that an item has been sold or from the actual shelf itself.
That's right. And think of our data that's in Domo, something I haven't mentioned to this point, but it's logical in what I'm saying here with the first example and this example. Once that data connection has been set, like in this example from a POS system, or from inventory in the inventory in the back. Once that connection is made to pull the data out of there, you set the time frame on how often you want that data pulled, and it does it automatically from that data source into Domo, into that data set that then the app is fed from, as often as you've told it to do so. Some data you might want to update every hour, some data every 15 minutes, some once a day. It really depends on how often that data itself gets updated in the source system. But yeah, once it's flowing, and that's exactly in this example we just gave, that's what happens. And that's how they know what the inventory levels are, and that's how they know how to react quickly, and then what gets stocked, that's out on the floor, so they can keep a constant view of what's going on the floor.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, in this case, example that you mentioned, where the shopper could actually come to the store, and if they don't find something, it should probably be real time. The minute
that's right.
something is sold, they have to check if is there a replacement, another one in the back room, and then I can imagine that the salespeople or associates in the store would get notified that, go do something at least.
That's right.
And they can take action based on that. Okay.
That's exactly right. Just in something like sales, and mostly something around store sales, as close to real time as you can get it is obviously what you need, so that you can make decisions and change things if necessary, or restock things if necessary. So, yep, you're exactly right, Darius.
Okay. Yeah, this is so. Just looking at it from a point of view of even a customer, you would think that this is something everybody should be doing, right? But the fact of the matter is that the majority of retailers have nothing close to even this.
Right.
They things sit in the back room for months, even sometimes. And nobody even knows what is in the back room until they do an inventory, which they do like twice a year. Can you imagine? I mean, this is no wonder people are suffering.
But it's understandable in some other ways too, because, there's no system, or there hasn't been a system that could easily bring this together in a very fast way. And the implementation of this was not that long. So it's really focusing on the problem, focusing on where the data lies, focusing on the APIs or connections to bring it in, and then get that machine running. So I think Domo as a platform, and something we haven't mentioned yet in this podcast, but Domo as a platform, inside its platform is acquisition of data, it's then merging of that data, it's visualization of that data, it's socializing that data, and optimizing that data. That five-layer cake of, we kind of visualize it as a pyramid from acquisition to optimization. Those five layers are all within the platform, which speeds up time to value. So you can do all those things that we just talked about, bring in POS data, bring in inventory data, create an app of the visualization, socialize it with communication amongst them around the gamification, all within Domo. And I think part of the problem, to your point, why hasn't this been done before? I mean, people have this problem. The problem is there really hasn't been this business management system like Domo that can do it quickly, bring it together quickly, and execute. And by the way, we replaced an old system that they did have, but it was antiquated. It wasn't gamified. It wasn't fun. It wasn't accurate. And those are all the other things. So I think part of this unification or this platform approach that we've gone to market with is also effective on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's one of the really most encouraging parts of the retail tech business that I see is really the modernization of the software platforms, especially working with the APIs where you're not limited to, like the weakest link in the chain, bringing down the entire operation because one software just doesn't can handle it.
That's right.
And just like you said, I think this is very important that to be able to help a customer see what they have and guide them through this process of getting things done quickly, I think it's really the competitive advantage. I mean, of course, all the engineering and everything else has to be there, but you can have the best engineering and still not be able to really help and guide the customer. And
That's right.
yeah, so I think that's probably what the what I'm seeing is a difference in how you guys Domo helps customers. So
And
yeah.
one other thing, if you don't mind, Darius, in that regard, Domo does have the consulting organization to be able to help folks. But on the other hand, what we also want to do is put as much of this self-help in the product to help guide customers. We can take them as this example we just gave here on this top retailer. We can take them through maybe one or two initiatives with consulting help, but our goal is to have the product intuitive enough to be able to teach them to fish, and then off they go. So they don't have to depend on my consulting if they don't want to. If they need us, we're always here. So there's that aspect of it too, and it's a
That's even
core
better.
tenet. It's a core tenet of who we are.
Yeah.
So we have educational videos. We have thousands of them. We have a knowledge base. We have the ability to follow an intuitive path inside the product when people get started. We have in the app store that we also put out there for customers, we have apps that are created for specific personas, apps that are created for specific vendor apps like Salesforce or others that you might want to pull data from. So there's this kind of this idea or this charter of not only the platform, not only the business problem to the data that we talked about, but also how can we create an environment of self-help so customers can just take action and become motivated on their own to do this.
So does Domo have its own app store, like a developer community where people, third-party developers can build apps?
We do. Yes, we do. And there's we put it out on market about a year ago, and it's got over 1,000 apps that are inside it, and we have not only Domo contributing but also other vendors contributing into that app store. So it's in a growth mode right now, but there's a lot of good stuff out there in the app store that people can just download.
Okay, that's really good. I'm glad to hear that. So now what about, so we talked about the CEO and also the store personnel. What else? Is there another example you can walk me through?
Sure. So, and this is a company I'll name this particular one. The other ones I could not, but this one is The Honest Company, which is Jessica Alba's company. And this is a pretty typical problem that The Honest Company, and I don't know if you know those guys, but they have a lot of e-commerce, and they also
Yes.
sell through stores on baby supplies and things of that nature. So they have
Yes.
a subscription business and products. So The Honest Company's issue was around marketing data. It's just another area that they wanted to focus on. And their biggest, they have five major verticals with hundreds of products in them, and they want to make sure that they're pricing it right, and they want to make sure that they're competitive, and they also want to ensure that the subscriptions that they have with the customers that they do the month-to-month kind of shipping and so forth, that there's loyalty there and that they're serving them right and so forth. So one of the things they wanted to focus on as their one of their key needs was ensuring that these products were priced right. So they bring in a lot of different data sources. I don't know the number, but it's probably 7 to 10 different data sources of marketing data, competitive pricing data, inventory SKU data, and so forth to be able to then analyze quickly and determine and actually make decisions quickly. Not, you know, a lot of these decisions, as you think about this, probably historically have not been done quickly, but change your price, get your price right, make sure that you're doing the right thing for the customer and that you're competitive. So they bring the data together to think of it that way and ensure that their product lines are then focused properly, priced properly, and serving their customers properly.
Okay, so who actually in the company uses the Domo solution in this case? Marketing teams or?
That's right. So there's a group, and let's talk about this a little bit because you asked the question, you know, around implementation. You know, how is this done and who's involved? You know, typically it's in some cases it's a department. In the case of the first example I gave with the large retailer, it's multiple departments to be able to come up with the answer. In this case, with the Honest Company, it's mostly marketing. That's where they're focused right now, and it's expanding to other areas of their company. But this business problem was marketing. So they also have an IT and BI organization and analysts and so forth that historically have done a lot of this work that have embraced Domo and are using the product to be able to do this kind of work and serve the marketing organization well. So it's a team play between marketing and BI IT that's getting the job done for the Honest Company.
Okay, great. Well, this is very interesting. I think I would love to at some point in time actually see some of these examples in action. So maybe we can schedule some kind of a follow-up or maybe even go to one of these stores and see how things are being used. It sounds like very interesting, especially that gamified application that you mentioned.
Yeah, I think the fun thing to do would be go see one of the stores and just watch it in action. I like that idea. So
yeah,
be fun.
So to close out, I want to ask you a couple of really tough questions. One is, who is your favorite omnichannel retailer that you actually use yourself?
I would. It would be a disservice if I said that. We have some of them with their customers, and I want to be politically wise here because
okay.
If they have to listen to my podcast, I don't want to irritate one or the other. But I have some deep loves with some of my omnichannel partners that do a great job, and I might even have a credit card or two from one of those or two. So
okay,
I'll put it out there.
That's fine. I tried. So. The other one is from your own as a consumer. We're all consumers. What is one retail experience that can improve, that can help your life?
I think it's something that we try to help with at Domo. This notion that is not new. It's been happening for a while between brick and mortar e-commerce and speed at which I want to be able to get something in my hands. I like being able to have a lot of information at my hands, be able to get subject matter expertise about a particular product, make a decision somewhat electronically, and then execute at a store if I choose. So making that experience more contiguous and tighter and more valuable with the subject matter expertise in that experience is something that personally I love it when it works right. I don't see it out there enough, and it's certainly an area that Domo's focused on with certain customers that have both storefront as well as e-commerce, have that experience in trying to bring together through their loyalty programs.
Okay, yeah. So just like to give you my example, one of the things that I keep forgetting things, especially when I go shopping. So I go to the store, and I love going to the store. I mean, I love going to like Sprouts here or Whole Foods or natural food, any kind of store. And then I go there and I come back and I forgot something. Mm-hmm. So what would be really nice is for my phone to detect which store I'm in. And it would actually tell me, make sure you're buying these things. And then it's connected to that store's POS system. So if I didn't pick something, it would alarm me right there. I mean, I know this is probably a little bit too futuristic, but this is like, it's something that happens to me quite often, unfortunately. So
yeah, no, that's a fair thing. I mean, you know, and there's interconnectivity even with your refrigerator and a lot of other things, you know, at the house that you can start doing now to be able to connect in as a data source in there to be able to also feed then what do you need and from that help you decide, you know, well, I'm at Whole Foods or Sprouts, you needed this particular thing, which actually, by the way, I've been on certain diets over the years, and there are certain stores that carry certain things in your example that you really want to remember because that's the only place you're going to be able to find, you know, a particular item. So it would be handy. I like that example. I think that's a good one.
I think that's where software really can help, you know, our lives get better. You know, another mm-hmm. example is I'm an Uber user. I use Uber. Mm-hmm. So last week I was going to the airport and I sent a request to get an Uber X from my home in Southern California mm-hmm. to the airport. And the guy shows up and I just, you know, I ask people how they like the service and where they're from just to get more information. And he said that he was driving from San Diego on his way to a meeting in L.A., and in the middle of the way, so I'm in San Clemente, mm-hmm. the airport is in Irvine. This is like in the middle of his way, Uber software matched his exact timing and location with my request and sent him in the middle. This is not a request that he knew about when he left San Diego.
Right.
He got it halfway in the way. And that blew my mind that they are doing that, and that's where software is really doing its job.
Yeah, it's efficient. It makes sense. I mean, it's bringing together things intuitively, and it's efficient, which that's what we should be doing. I like that example.
Yeah.
So, yep. Good.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. This is fascinating, and you know, best of luck, and I look forward to hearing more and more great stories and examples.
Hey, Darius, thank you for the time. Enjoyed the podcast. Hope to do another one with you soon.